these commandments is that really what we're doing here is not just a one-day deal. This is really, more than anything else, this is about you developing relationships with congressional staffers that represent your states or congressional districts, that you can then provide them additional information down the line. This is really about developing a relationship. And so you should know your congressman. You should know who they are and what they do and what they care about. You shouldn't just meet with them when you need something, that if you are, through the course of your business, see something that is particularly interesting or relevant to a previous conversation you've had, you should, you know, feel free to send it to them and say, hey, I saw this and thought of you. We'll talk about a couple more of these later on down the line, but I think, you know, the point about effrontery towards someone else's project, I'm sure that's not going to happen here because we're all one big happy family. But, you know, you should look at potentially doing, you know, visits in the district or attending town hall events. I think the ninth and tenth are especially interesting. Thou shalt accept a turn down or a setback graciously. Not everyone is going to agree with your point of view or the funding or the policies that we're advocating for. So feel free to just take that in stride and continue to have a dialogue. And I think thou shalt not do thy lobbying like a lobbyist. So in other words, you know, you are approaching it from a perspective of being a technical expert in the field, and that's really what your strength is, and that's really, you should leverage that strength. You aren't a lobbyist, and that, frankly, is what makes you a more valuable advocate in this situation. So I'm going to go to the next slide here, slide three. This kind of shows you that really in the world of Congress and Capitol Hill, it is the staffers that do a significant amount of the work. And so you have, beneath each elected member, you have a whole support system of experts and doers that actually get a lot of the work done. So you'll see here from this graph that overwhelmingly the majority of employees in both the House and the Senate are members of a senator or congressman's personal office staff, whereas there are a significantly smaller number of congressional committee staff that also have, committee staff have an important role in sort of setting policy, really being the policy experts in a particular area, and they help guide and influence the opinions of the members that are on that committee. And then, you know, finally you see the members of the House and the Senate in the blue as sort of a juxtaposition to the large number of staff. So I don't think we need to spend too much more time on that. Here are the general differences between personal office staff and committee staff. I think the important thing to recognize is that personal office staff are essentially their responsibility is to support their boss, their member of Congress or their senator, in the work that they do up on Capitol Hill. They really don't have any other allegiance other than their boss, and they will more likely to be from the state. The average House member probably has, I'd say, you know, six to eight to sometimes 10 staffers in their Washington, D.C. offices, with another maybe 6 to 8 or so out in the congressional district. The average senator has roughly 30, but that's also done by population size. So if you're meeting with a senator from the office of a senator from California, they're going to have many, many more staff than, say, a senator from Wyoming. And there's some sample titles, and we'll talk about that as we go down the line, actually, on the next slide. So I don't necessarily have the schedule in front of me, but I suspect that you will probably be meeting with folks pretty much across this matrix. You're going to meet with a lot of staff assistants and legislative correspondents and legislative assistants, so LAs and LCs. You know, you may get a meeting with a legislative director, especially if their committee of jurisdiction is in the area of science or appropriations for science. And the chief of staff, you know, there may be one or two meetings with the chief, especially if the chief has maintained some legislative responsibilities. But generally speaking, you're going to be in the legislative assistant, legislative counsel, or legislative correspondent range of the slide. And so the one thing I will tell you right off the bat is don't be disappointed that you are meeting with a legislative correspondent or a staff assistant, because
the
turnover on Capitol Hill, I want to say the average tenure of a House staffer is less than 2 years, and the average tenure of a Senate staffer is less than 3 years. There's a lot of turnover, and the folks you're meeting today who are legislative correspondents that might be backing up in L.A., will actually be next year's LA. So it's important not to be disappointed that you weren't meeting with one of the more senior people from the office, because your message still gets through, and they very, very well will be a senior staff in not too distant a future. So the next slide here, slide six, gives you a sense of what to expect when you're meeting with each one of each one of the people along the way. And and I think the takeaway from especially the younger, the legislative assistant and correspondent side, is they're very young, right? These are bright, personable, tending to be extroverted people who have volunteered on campaigns or have otherwise gotten involved in the political process or in the policymaking process, who are working in these positions. They tend to be young, and generalists, but they're very smart, and they tend to be able to pick up on the major arc of your conversation or your ask pretty quickly. It is always a busy time up on Capitol Hill, and you will definitely find yourselves in a somewhat chaotic situation in a couple of weeks. Who knows what agency leader will have been fired between now and then. The budget will actually be, we believe, may be released on the very day that we're there. So there may be a lot of activity surrounding the budget release that day. So you will be landing in a bit of chaos, but that's okay, because again, there are a lot of people there. All of them have their various specialties, and more often than not, you'll be meeting with folks that at least have some basic understanding of what you're asking for from a funding perspective. And that really sort of gets to the next slide here, slide seven, which is, how do you explain the value of nuclear physics in 15 minutes to a 24-year-old with a political science degree and a phone that won't stop buzzing? Well, that is, of course, the challenge. And honestly, I don't necessarily know that you feel like you need to, that not completely doing that in the 15 minutes that you have is necessarily a loss. I think that really the thing that you want to do in these meetings is make a connection. And really, the true measure of success is whether or not they're asking you questions or just sitting back and patiently learning. Oftentimes staffers will get into that kind of listening mode, and that's good, and we'll talk more about how you structure your meeting in a bit. But really the goal is to draw them out, ask them about whether they're from the district, if they're familiar with the institution or your facility. You won't be able to explain nuclear physics in 15 minutes, but I think it's about creating a connection. And so I'm going to the next slide here, and I think this sort of gets to the point of creating a connection, means really using, language and communications techniques that really sort of help bridge the cultural divide between those that are in science and those that are in politics and policy. And so, Yeah, you can take a look at some of the juxtaposition of words here, and I think you'll sort of get the point. But they will come at this from a very different direction. I think a lot of them will have a genuine interest in understanding more about the science, but they're not necessarily going to be focused on the minutiae or trying to understand the finer parts of quark gluon plasma. They are interested in solving problems and helping constituents. And so you will see that they want to know why they should care about something. They're interested more in the tend to be more interested in the sort of the subjective political outcomes as opposed to objective proposals. So we may care about the nuclear physics discipline as a whole. They may care about what does that mean for their state or their district, and what does that mean for the economy. So I think the goal is really to try to cross the divide by talking about what it means to society in general. So to the next slide, slide 9, tips for staff. I think we've sort of gone over this, but be concise, even at the risk of some oversimplification. I think that it's important that they gain some general concepts about what you're talking about, not the particular details, and always be on your own jargon and acronym patrol, right? Remember who you're talking to, and especially if those of you that are not speaking in a meeting where there might be more of one of you in the room, feel free to just sort of add in explain an acronym if it's pretty clear that if somebody's thrown it out that staffer doesn't understand it. And then let's sort of go to the sort of the meat of this, which is in slide 10. So really what you want to what you want to be doing here is when you start the meeting, I mean, I always think that it is good practice to start a meeting by essentially saying thank you to them, thank you for meeting with you, thank you for the support that your members provided, even if they haven't done a damn thing for you in the last 5 years. It's always sort of a good way to start. You want to take time to explain who you are, where you're from, where you live in the district. Try to create some kind of connection with them. Discuss the your home university or institution. And then, going to the second bullet, tell them that you're here to talk about nuclear physics and the value that it provides and the important role of federally sponsored research and overall stewardship in supporting the field. And I think a short description of nuclear physics is good. You can sort of start from the stars and bring it all the way down to the subatomic level, but sort of give an overview about what it is, and really to the next point, why you should care. And all of you will have, and for any of you that have done these visits in the past, you know exactly what I'm talking about. We have the one-pager that talks about 10 things that you didn't know that you loved about nuclear physics. And that is a great icebreaker to talk about some of the practical, commercial, civilian applications for nuclear physics technology that will connect the work that you do, even if it's very theoretical, to the sorts of things that are in the economy or in our society that they'll know and they'll understand or understand the benefits of. So I think that'll give you a good icebreaker there. And really what you want to do is talk about the value of federally sponsored research and how that supports the research that you're doing, how it supports major research user facilities like RIC and CBAF and FRIB, and talk about how that user community works with individual investigator-initiated grants and then the large user facilities. I think that again on this next page 11, it maybe gives you a few finer points on the things that you can say in this area. And really, if you'll see the ask here, it's a somewhat general ask. And again, on a normal year, we will know what the budget proposal is, and we will already know what the administration is proposing. So this is a very general ask. We're still working on the one pager, dependent upon what we hear in the next couple of weeks. But this will be, I think, the general outline of the ask, which is make this funding a priority in 2018. Keep that, keep that flow and the pump prime for scientific discovery and practical applications by continuing to provide strong funding for the Office of Science and its nuclear physics program in the FY18 budget year. So I think we'll have an opportunity to talk when you guys come to Washington specifically about what's happening with the appropriations process this year. It is a very compressed process, because normally the budget would be released in February. Now it's being released in May, and the end of the fiscal year is the end of September. So there's going to be a very compressed year for the appropriations committees in the House and Senate to mark up their bills, and it's very likely that those bills will be combined into some other kind of omnibus appropriations bill, and if that fails, some kind of continuing resolution. So you won't necessarily need to get into that. The folks that you're sitting across the table from will understand that part of it. But I think the goal is to make them understand that the investments and recognize that the investments that the federal government and DOE makes in science and nuclear physics is really important to our country. So I'm going to move now on to, well, it looks like slide 13, that basically gives you a physical layout of Capitol Hill. And you may actually want to begin to take a look at this now, but certainly familiarize yourself with the Capitol Hill area before you come to D.C., because you will likely have meetings in both the House and the Senate side. I'm really hoping we have some good weather for you guys, so you can cross across the Capitol complex between the House and the Senate office buildings. But, take a look at this slide when you get a chance, or even print this one out and have a look at it on the plane, because you'll want to be familiar with your House and Senate office buildings. And then actually on morning when we do the pre-briefing before we send you out, we'll have a series of some more detailed maps that will explain to you how to navigate through the various office buildings, how the rooms are numbered and so forth. But we'll cover that in the we'll cover that on the Monday morning. So, again, I guess I would just sort of leave it with, this is, for you first-timers, don't sweat this too much. It's fun to be up on Capitol Hill and visit. It's a really neat environment. I mean, yes, all the things you read in the paper about politicization and polarization of the electorate. Yeah, I mean, some of that is going on up here, but it is generally populated by young, smart, motivated people that want to do well for this country. They may not agree on the manner in which to do that, but they do have they're there for generally altruistic means. So, enjoy your time. You will I think you will, and we have a few old timers here that I know have done it a number of times, but these visits are really important. And I will tell you, in the 5 or 6 years we've been doing it, the nuclear physics budget has had steady increases, maybe not to the degree that we would like it, but certainly a pretty good, strong, good, modest growth to the program over the last few years. And in some part, I do believe, although you can never draw a bright line between the work that we do here and the outcome, that the work that you will be doing in 2 weeks, 2 weeks from now, helps us in that process to secure funding and build support for the funding that we have received and will continue to receive. So with that, I'm going to stop and I think maybe first turn to, I know we have Sarah Walter, yep, from MSU, and also Greg Kubiak from Sura on the phone, who are also involved in government relations. Greg or Sarah, was there anything I missed or you want to amplify?
No, I would just, you've hit everything. I want to thank folks for taking time out of their very busy schedules to come do this. And I know as you walk around the Capitol building, Capitol Hill buildings next week, especially for folks who are doing this for the first time, you know, maybe a little time is overwhelming because there will be a lot of other groups, you know, representing everything under the sun, restaurateurs, school athletic groups, teachers, doctors. But I would emphasize that the time you're taking here really does make a difference. The strong, steady funding that nuclear physics has received, you folks should take full credit for that. It really makes a difference. Hearing from people who directly receive impact from this federal funding makes a world of difference to congressional aides. Greg, anything?
Nothing to add from my standpoint. I think that's a great overview, Craig, and I echo Sarah's sentiment. Thank you all for being such so interested and helpful in doing this. It really does make a difference. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. So maybe
can I ask
we
a
could do.
Practical question.
Sure.
Yes.
This is Nadia Fomenais. This is my fourth year doing it. I don't remember if you guys always include a map. This is super, super useful, especially since it has buildings on it. The only thing I would say is if you could add the MSU office, because I think at least half of us or maybe more end up using it to drop off our bags, and that's like the starting point for us at the beginning of the day. So to have that ahead of time,
so
like
year,
rather than like bugging everybody the night before, like, hey, where do we go in the morning?
So this year, unfortunately, due to the metro closing and things like that, our office doesn't open until 9 a.m.
Oh.
So what folks should do for this year, especially because folks are going to be in Crystal City this year, which is incredibly, it's right next door to the airport, is either leave your bags with the concierge, and then you can pick it up en route to the airport, or if you're just coming in for a night, you can pack light enough to bring it with you. There are a lot of people on Capitol Hill who are bringing their things with you. But it's unfortunately, the metro has really slowed the city down incredibly.
Yeah, and I would actually, just to add on that, I think it's the right decision because, you know, given that the hotel we're getting together, we're basing out of Crystal City closer to the airport, you know, the MSU office is a fair distance away from Capitol Hill, and I know, you know, complicates makes your morning earlier. And to Sarah's point, you know, in any given day, given where the metro is, we never really know. You're going to want to leave early because we'll never really know what's happening with the metro. So we've taken it out of there. Because of that reason. So I think it's the right thing to do. If anybody has any, you know, sort of
logistical
major or particular specific issues, we can try to work with you on that. But the best thing to do is just to leave it at the hotel.
No, that's good to know. Thank you because those of us who have done it for several years just, I guess, kind of expected that.
Oh, yeah.
So can I ask you a question about the material that you presented, Craig? I actually have two questions.
Sure.
By any chance, would we be able to have copies of the long-range plan to give to the staffers we meet? And the other thing I was going to ask was about the National Science Foundation. Should we highlight that as well? Is it something different to these guys? Or?
It is.
So
go ahead.
Sarah.
Craig, go
well,
ahead.
I guess what I was going to say is that the I don't think that there's any problem in supporting funding for the National Science Foundation. The people that you're going to be meeting with, by and large, will be energy LAs, and sometimes those are the same as science LAs. But it's focused very specifically on DOE. But I think it can be a supporting point. Now, as it relates to the long range plan or any other piece of information. What I think we ought to approach this, and it goes back to what I said in the very beginning about how we're making we're trying to develop relationships. The other thing that we're going to want you to do is to follow up with these staffers after you've met with them. And so our policy is to save as many trees as we possibly can. And so, you know, if we can inconvenience electrons to get to the same endpoint, we'd like to do that. So what I would suggest is for any of those meetings where you've got a report or any additional material you want to provide them on this topic, that you can include that as an attachment to your thank you email to them.
Sounds great. Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Other questions? This is Krishna Rajagopal from MIT. Can I ask a question?
Of course.
So I've also done this before. A couple of logistic things, then I'll ask my real question. Logistically, could you tell us on this map where the breakfast meeting is that we start? I know it's in the cafeteria in the basement of one of the buildings, but I don't know which one. And then the other thing is, the logistical thing is, the one pager with the 10 great things of nuclear physics, we need to hand that out, but could you send it to us electronically at least a day in advance so we can look at it on the plane?
Yes.
Those are my two. Well, why don't you go with those, and then I'll ask my real question.
Yeah, sure. So very quickly, let me first yield to Sarah, who can tell us the exact location of the breakfast pre-brief this
year. Actually, I sent it to Lindsay a couple months ago. So is Lindsay on the phone by any chance?
Lindsay's not, but Caroline is, and we're hosting it in Rayburn 2044. I just updated the website with that information. Additionally, all the materials that you will have in your folders, you will get at the breakfast, but they will all be posted online within the next week or so. So you'll be able to look it over and familiarize yourself with all the information you need to on the website, which is the URL is nuclearphysicsdcday.com. And if you go now, you'll find an agenda and all of the locations and all of that fun stuff, and we'll be updating it as the time gets closer.
And on that note, on there should also be plans for dinner. Lindsay and Caroline, thank you so much. That's incredible. This year, because of the change of location in hotels, we're having dinner at the hotel in Crystal City. So.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. The more substantive question I wanted to ask. So I'm at MIT. I've talked with people from our Washington office, and we have a group here that helps MIT faculty tune their message when they're going to Washington. And the advice that I got is that it seems right now that the most important thing is actually the top-level number for non-defense discretionary spending. And so the advice that I got was, when you get to the ask, to start by saying, we're hoping the Representative X or Senator Y will be a strong supporter of non-defense discretionary spending. This includes investments in the future of the nation in basic science research, in fundamental research, which pay off in the long run in discoveries, in new technologies, in great young people, and then get to, and in nuclear physics, and then sort of flow into the nuclear physics. But to start at the, you know, the big envelope, which is non-defense discretionary spending, because at least in the skinny budget, that big envelope was not treated very well. I'm curious what those of you with expertise have to say about that advice, which is to start big this year.
I'll give you my viewpoint, which is that I think that you have to know what kind of office that you're walking into before you use that. I think it is a legitimate message to maybe start one level up in certain offices, but especially when it comes to Republican offices. They may not necessarily have the same view on that, and by verbalizing that up front, you may actually inadvertently shut down the conversation. So I would actually go I think in any Democratic office that you're in, that message would be well received. I think on the Republican side, you would want to be focused more specifically on, you know, funding for DOE Office of Science and funding for nuclear physics. That's what enables the research that we do. Here are the benefits to society and the economy. And then you know, again, rather than trying to you know, insert that message into,
So on the Republican side, so if you're in a Republican office, should we start with DOE and nuclear physics, or should we start with basic research as an investment in the future?
I think either
one. I would definitely start with the latter.
I think also it always helps, and Craig kind of alluded to this or in his conversation. Another good way of starting this conversation is you want to make a connection. So even before you go into whether it's the big picture, whether it's basic research, whether it's Office of Science, you know, you're a constituent, this is where you live, this is where your kids go to school. I mean,
Oh, yes. I totally, this is, I was talking about the ask after having done exactly as Craig described. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Yep.
Sure. Other questions?
Can I throw in a question from Egon Chalakian in Cambridge as well?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
All right. Years ago, I worked on Capitol Hill in the Joint Committees on Ways and Means and Finance, the Senate and the House. I was with Wilbur Mills and Russell Long. I was a legislative tax analyst. And the reason I bring it up, I'm listening to your conversation, and I appreciate it very much. Thank you. I recall years later, and only about 6-7 years back, that whenever I'd be on Capitol Hill, and generally on the Republican side, there was a standard statement whenever Los Alamos, any of the labs would show up, and they'd ask me to sort of sit in those meetings, they would typically say at the end, these guys don't talk about themselves, the public doesn't know who they are or what they do, and then they want money. And I recall that conversation, I had to do a plutonium at one point, and they were saying the average guy knows nothing about it, so it's hard for us to give them money when we don't know what they do and nobody else knows. And that's something I've always, it's always resonated in my mind that they were saying we'd love to give money, we just have no reason, nobody's covered our butts. I just wanted to throw that in because I think it's wonderful what we're doing now, because that's the very thing they were pleading that we do, is get out there and give our dialogue and talk our case. So I'm just going to throw that out just as a morale booster, hopefully, but that's, they were begging for us to do it.
Yeah,
that's great.
Well, absolutely. And I think that you know, we have a situation where we have been doing this pretty much now at least five years straight. And I don't know that I've ever had anybody say exactly that. I think that probably has a more of a direct impact on classified research, but especially in the Office of Science, you know, in the science funding space, really what this is talking about is you know, basic research, discovery science that leads to, you know, real practical applications that have significantly beneficial impacts on people's lives. And I think that is the, you know, it's an easier sell than saying, hey, give us a lot of money to do something that we can't tell you about.
Well, I actually, this is Justin France from Rick. I would just say we kind of got some similar feedback from a few of the representatives that we met. They said sort of the same thing about other types of science. Like, so they seem to be very refreshed that we come and talk about our nuclear physics, and they sort of complain that they don't get that from every field in physics. So I think that probably is consistent with what we've heard a little bit.
That's our advantage.
Mm-hmm.
This is Renee Fatimi from Kentucky. I just wanted to say that one angle I felt resonated, and I think maybe some other states might be able to use this. So we're a state who doesn't have a national lab, unlike Tennessee or Virginia. And one angle I always take, and they seem to like, is that I'm helping our residents go work at national labs, and we don't have one in the state. They can't do that. You know, I cannot send them out of state without support. And then you bring that back to the bigger picture of, you know, international collaboration and science. And I don't know, I feel like that has really helped before for me. So it's just an idea.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I think that you have every state, that every place that has an academic program has the ability to attract, you know, highly trained people to come there, potentially to stay, and you know, and it has an impact even if you don't have a large facility in your state. Other questions?
Yeah, I have a...
Hello? I have a question.
Yes.
I just looked at the webpage and on... It's about how you dress. For the dinner, it says casual attire, but how should we dress for the meetings? Jacket and tie, I guess?
Good question. Exactly right. So I would say generally no formal dress code for the dinner on Sunday evening. I know people will be traveling. Feel free to come as you are. I think I'm going to wear jeans. Now, on the day of the event, and Sarah, maybe you can talk a bit more about on the about women's wardrobe. But for men, I would say certainly jacket and tie, and decent pants and no tennis shoes.
Yeah, I would say for women, either blazer and pants or blazer and skirt. Suits are obviously fine. Comfortable shoes. Again, no tennis shoes, but it's a lot of walking.
Good. Other questions?
Yeah. So you guys, what came up briefly was the DC Metro, and I Googled while we were talking, and I could not get clear information on what the status of the Metro is. So if you fill us in on what that.
The Washington D.C. Metro system has, for the past year and a half, and going on, it'll be a two-year process, been doing a year and a half massive update, extensive repairs. So just for example, the Metro used to have late night hours. They're now closed by 11:30 on weeknights. The Greenbelt Metro is shut down. The Orange Line stations will east of Stadium Armory, so it won't be impact you, but it will slow things down. Will be shut down until June 15. If you go on to WMATA.com.
Sarah, if you don't mind, let me make a suggestion to that point, which is, Caroline, perhaps we can add a link to the Nuclear Physics DC website to the real time conditions for the Metro, because chances are you'll be fine. It doesn't mean that the Metro is broken down or there are delays every day, but there are maintenance work that gets scheduled, and then of course you have the occasional maintenance issue that is spontaneous. So we'll make sure that we get you that info so you have it, and we can maybe talk a little bit about it at the dinner on Sunday night.
Can I ask a quick question? I guess for Caroline, when will each of us be getting our individual schedules for the day? Our schedules of meetings for the day?
So your schedules,
is that just like the day before, or is it?
Your schedules will be posted on the website probably the Wednesday before. However, we often schedule meetings up to the day of, depending on staff availability.
Yep.
So a finalized version of the schedule will be available the morning of, but your groups will not change.
Thank you.
And I would just. Yeah, go ahead.
I'd wait till you finish.
Okay, what I was going to say on the logistical information, I'm sure you have lots of questions. We're going to get an email out to every participant. Roughly a week ahead of time, that's going to have a lot of additional information about where to go, how to get there, and again, Nuclear Physics DC Day. If you check that website, and again, we'll send you a link to it too. We'll have links to all the advocacy materials and potentially some background materials too. So this isn't your last communication with us before you come to DC. We're going to have a lot more information coming your way. I think it's just a function of us. All of your user group reps have been You've been communicating through them, but we're going to be communicating to you directly here shortly. Are there any other questions about the meetings? I want to sort of say focus today more on you know, meetings and the environment that you're going to be in and how to conduct a meeting. I mean, the one thing I will say, and it goes back to the first slide on the Ten Commandments, is, you know, you certainly should now be, and certainly before you come to Washington, have a chance to take a look, Google your senators and representatives, and take a look at their biographies, take a look at their voting records. It's, you know, I mean, the web search is pretty straightforward, but you're going to want to have some feel for who your member is and what they care about. So that's one other thing I would point out. But you know, questions about the advocacy portion of this.
Yes, I do have a question. I have been doing this for 4 years. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. And so I've been doing this for 4 years, and every time it's emphasized that we should talk about personal stories as well, because people connect with personal stories. One of the personal stories that we've been emphasizing, that this country is bringing in the best and the brightest from other countries for doing science here. And so I'm wondering whether do you have any comments or suggestions, given that some offices might have sentiments for feeling that born Americans are being shorthanded from jobs because of immigrants. So do you have any comments or suggestions regarding this kind of personal story?
My sense of this is just real generally, and I'll let others chime in, but I don't know that we have ever had nor can we contemplate having a glut of nuclear physicists and folks trained in that area. So I think that you are on fairly safe ground saying that you know, it does allow us to bring the best and brightest in and work on projects here in this country and pay taxes, and I think that's okay. I think that again, you have to, that it goes back to understanding who your members are and what their interests in. I don't know that we have anybody meeting with Steve King from Iowa, but that might not necessarily work with him because he's a strident anti-immigration person. So, you know, it would be good to know your person's stance on that issue and you know, adjust appropriately.
So what you can do, you can also look back at their press releases. You'll get a sense of what their stances are, just as a general tone of where they stand politically. Another thing to just keep in mind, because you've been doing this 4 years, is we will have some new members if folks are visiting, but once you're in Congress, your chance of reelection is pretty high. So you may, and while staff change a lot, I think you probably have the same chance of you know, using the same message effectively.
So we'll be going to offices of people in our state only, or in other states too.
Caroline, do you want to explain
in
that?
State. Yeah, Caroline can explain.
So we've tried to put people in groups that make sense. For example, there's quite a large Virginia contingent. Shout out to all the Jefferson Lab people. So those will largely be meetings. Everyone is from Virginia. You'll be going to your Virginia representative with all of those people, and you'll be seeing both Senators Warner and Kane's staff. However, there are some people who might be the only person from their state, and a good example is the Northern West group, people from Idaho, people from Iowa. They might be each the only person from their group. So we've put them together, and you're going to attend all of those meetings. So you might have 6 or 7 meetings when you combine all of the senator and all of the representative meetings. However, on our schedule, it's very clearly indicated who is the constituent for each meeting, and I can let Craig and Sarah talk a little bit about how you should determine who should take the lead in each meeting and how you might want to structure that meeting setup. But in general, the person in a group like that with mixed constituencies, the person who's the constituent can take the lead in those meetings.
Mm-hmm. I would only add that that there are two kinds of people from our side in those meetings. There are people that are from those states and congressional districts, and then there are people that are there to support those people from those states and congressional districts. So, folks from the state should be doing most of the talking, and others can pipe in if they want to add something, but generally it's the constituents show. We never like to see any rookie go on a meeting alone. I mean, there are some cases where you might have to split up. We'd have to look at the particulars of the schedule, but by and large, it's good to have at least one or two wingmen or wingwomen that can that can be with you, especially if you haven't done it before. So that's our approach. That's how we're scheduling it. That's how we're working on the schedule. And there'll always be last minute adjustments and some tight connections, but it usually works pretty well.
This is right. Adrian. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I have a question. For this year, will UEC chairs still meet with the DOE? Go to the DOE office in the morning?
Yes, we're putting that together. They're waiting for one last recommendation of a person, and then we'll contact those folks.
I see. Going. Okay, thank you.
Other questions?
Should we? Maybe we were supposed to have done this already. Should we provide you with our cell phone numbers so that you're going to give us ways to contact you, but if you need to contact us, are we supposed to have given you our cell phones?
Caroline.
Yes.
Did we already do that? I can't remember.
It should have been the sheet where you signed up. It asked, in addition for your hometown, it asked for your email address as well as your personal cell phone number. And if you have any questions about that, my name and contact information are on the website, so feel free to reach out to me.
But yes, we will definitely want to make sure we have everyone's cell phone number in case we get any kind of last-minute cancellations or rescheduling. So we will once we get a little bit closer to the date, we're going to be scrubbing our list and our schedule. And if we don't have somebody's cell phone, we'll be reaching out to you. Other questions?
Hi. I just kind of had a question / comment. So I have a DOE fellowship, and maybe other people here do too. I feel like that would be very good to bring up, talk about bringing prestige to your university and stuff.
Yes, I think that's a great idea. I think for a lot of folks, you'll have to explain to them what a DOE fellowship is why it lends prestige. But I think that I think that it's important, and I think you can talk about how that enabled you to engage in a field of study or go to a particular institution, that provided you opportunities you might ordinarily have.
Yeah, so I thought that'd be a good thing to bring up in case other people could use that as well.
Definitely.
This is Aegon back in Cambridge. You just triggered my brain on a thought, and just please give me your insight. Consistent with what the lady just shared a second ago over DOE, I sit on the board of directors of the Fulbright Association of Massachusetts, so we have students coming and going both directions, researchers. And is there any value that I can bring to the table with that association that you might identify and you want to share with me?
Well, I think if it comes up, most certainly. The focus of the day is DOE funding as it relates to the nuclear physics program. So if you have any of the Fulbright folks working in that area, certainly. And, if it comes up in the conversation, I think that's the best way to address it.
Other questions? well, this will not be the last time that you'll get the ability to, you know, or the opportunity to interact with us or ask any additional questions. You know, Caroline Alexander and I, and also Lindsay Gardner from my office, and will be in contact with you over the next couple of weeks. And so we're happy to answer questions, but just know that as long as you know how to make it to the hotel and the dinner on Sunday night, you are in good shape. And don't leave too early on Monday afternoon, because we will be scheduling meetings into the afternoon. So don't take the temptation of that earlier flight that cuts off the end of the end of the afternoon for us. And you know, we encourage you between now and then to begin to take a look a little bit more closely at your senators and representatives, and understand a little bit more about who they are and what makes them tick politically. And again, we thank you and look forward to having you in Washington, D.C. And you know, and if you have any other questions in the meantime, please feel free to contact us, or just wait for our email to you. In the meantime, thank you, Sarah. Thank you, Greg. Thank you, everyone else. And we'll see you a week from next Monday.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.